Amen. Amen. God bless you, Tim. It's always good to see you, buddy. I love you, man. Amen.
All righty, we're hooked up and good to go. Amen. Well, it is a blessing to be here today, and we've been listening on the Facebook Live that you've been posting. We've been enjoying it. Amen. And it's always a blessing to be able to come back to Welcome Baptist Church. I appreciate your pastor. He means the world to me, him and his family. They're a blessing. And it's amazing how God allows you past the cross, amen, through the years. And God puts you in contact with individuals that, amen, that for years and years, amen, have been just great friends. And we love the people here at Welcome Baptist Church so much. And we pray God's richest blessings upon you. Enjoy the good fellowship. And amen. Also, it's good to see Dr. Simpson here with us. Amen. He's a blessing in my heart. Amen. As a young preacher, I would get a hold of all of the preaching tapes I could get. And Dr. Simpson, amen, I'd listen to him. And he come close to where we was living at one time there at Roanoke, Alabama. And he was a preaching. And I was there with some folks from, I think, Oklahoma. They were there with me that night, and we was listening to Dr. Simpson preach, and he preached a message entitled On a Pitiful Demise, I think of a theocracy or a democracy, I think it was, he preached. And the only things I remembered of it was a three-point message, and it was Hellcats, Huzzies, and Hound Dogs. Amen? And he got to that point about being a hound dog, and he said, y'all ladies, look at me. He said, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. Amen? Amen. And amen. Those are one of those messages that you just you enjoy hearing preached. Amen. It was a great message from God. And amen. But that's one that you can never go anywhere else and preach as a young preacher. Amen. But it was a blessing. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Simpson and his stand for God and his faithfulness through the years. It's been a blessing in my heart. And I tell you what, I appreciate these men of God that have stood the test of time. And there are many, and I'm not calling you old, doctor, amen, I'm not calling you old, but there are many that have already passed off the scene. And we'll never have those back, amen, but we enjoy the lessons that we learned. I remember one of the first messages I heard here at Welcome Baptist Church, and Brother C.L. Roach preached a message, and it was on the home, and he did it in an acrostic of the word home. And it was a blessing. And these, and Virgil Barnard, I remember being here years and years ago, Brother Virgil preached, and I'm going to tell you what, it got out of the benches. It got wild as a buck in here, amen, and it was thick and foggy. I'm just being honest with you, and just many great meetings that we've been able to be recipients of the Word of God here, and it's been a blessing through the years, and I appreciate it. Brother Rogers said, all right, you're going to be the one preaching first. And I'm like, of all the people, amen, me, amen. But I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the privilege. And I count it an honor and a privilege that he would share this sacred desk with us men of God today to be able to preach to his people, the people that he loves, amen, the people that he prays for, that he weeps over and cares for. And I don't take that lightly, Pastor, and I pray the Lord to be a blessing and help with these words that we speak here this morning. Have your Bibles to turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. And I'll not be too long this morning. I'll get out of the way and let these big guns come up, amen, and preach to us. Amen. But I just want to be able to try to be a help to you, give you a few words of encouragement this morning, this afternoon. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1. Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1. You find your place there. Say amen. Began in verse number 1. The Bible said, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Let's bow our head with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and open up the Word of God. And I pray, God, you'd endue us with power from on high. Strengthen us, God. Help us, God, to be able to say those things, God, that you'd have us to say. I pray, God, you'd speak to the heart, Lord, of every man, woman, and child here today. I pray for those that may be lost and undone, God, that you speak to the hearts and bring them to a place of faith and repentance before it's eternally too late. I pray for the saints of God, those, Lord, are saved and that are laboring and serving you, Lord, that you would encourage them and revive we, the saints of God, in these days. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving your darling Son for us on the cross of Calvary. Bless the reading of your word. Bless your people today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we do pray. Amen. I want to call your attention once again here in verse number 1 and verse number 2. Well, the Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I want to preach just a little while this morning on this thought, on the murmurings of the self-righteous. The murmurings of the self-righteous. Now, look at these portions of Scripture by way of introduction. I want to point out a few things. If you look in your text of Scripture here, you're going to find that a majority of this text of Scripture is written in red. That'll let you know that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking here. And we find the Lord is going to be sharing with these crowds of people here today in this text of Scripture dealing with parables. So we see here before us the parables of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to give you no big lesson or teaching or anything such as that, but we know that parables are a short story in the Bible that teaches a moral or religious lesson. Amen? You understand concerning it means it gives a comparison or an analogy. And the Lord used parables in many times in those days. And what he would do, he would use it to be able to come across to the hearts of the people on a topic and a subject they would understand and be able to apply to their lives. And so you see here in these lessons and these object lessons that the Lord is going to use today, we find, my friend, that he used these objects such as that people would use every single day life. Such as the sheep, the coins, even the sons. These are things that people could grasp hold of and use it, and the Lord could use it to be able to teach them a lesson. Now, first of all, we look here in verses 1 and 2, and we notice the people present before the Lord. The Bible said here, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And verse number 2. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. First of all, we think about the people that's present before the Lord. We see sinners. Amen. Those who know not God. You see, it said publicans. Now, publicans, they had an office there. They were tax collectors. And understanding these tax collectors, they were not elected by the public. But understanding these jobs were bid for. And whether it be by the king or the governor, whoever it be, they would sign this. Whoever paid the most money would get that position. And the reason why people despised the publicans, because they were thieves. Amen. Let's be honest with you. What the king would say, look, or the governor would say, I got to have this amount in taxes, but anything over this, it's yours to keep. And so they would go and they'd charge these people just highway robbery and robbing them and being able to get away with it. And so everybody despised the publicans. But also the Bible said sinners. Once again, those that know not God is present there. But also you had the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees of that day, they were the religious crowd. They were self-righteous. They were not leaning upon the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. But understand, they were trying to do works and good deeds that they thought would merit favor in the sight of God. They did not need the Lord Jesus Christ, nor did they respect the Lord Jesus Christ, nor look unto him. But also you had, concerning this, you had these individuals. Now, we find these individuals here. You had the searchers. Now, who were the searchers? Well, some come seeking to find favor or grace. Who was that? That was the publicans and sinners. Do you remember the story concerning the publican and the Pharisee that was in the temple praying that day? Do you remember, my friend, the Pharisee began saying, I'm thankful that I'm not like all these other sinners and even this publican here. And he began to go on and on and on and on. But that publican, the Bible said, would not even much raise up his head. But he smote himself upon the breast and said, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, there were those that came to hear what the Lord had to say. They were searching. Amen. They were seeking. And they were seeking to find favor or grace from the Lord. But then secondly, there's another crowd. There were some that came seeking to find fault. Not favor, but find fault in the Lord. And these were the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, I want you to notice something. What is the purpose of the Lord in these portions of Scripture? In the message that He's delivering to the people here in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 15. What is the purpose of the Lord? It is, every time He speaks, it is to reveal truth to those that are lost. Amen. The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which what? Was lost. So the Lord came, and the purpose of the Lord coming was to be obedient to the will of the Father. But here in the context of Scripture, He wanted to reveal truth to those that were lost. And understanding it was a definite truth, amen, that would reveal to them that they were lost and undone. Now here's one thing also we wanted to realize, want them to realize, that the object that is lost must be sought out and found. You see, they that are lost cannot save themselves.
Right.
You had the crowd, the religious crowd. They're trying to save themselves by good words and understanding. The Lord is revealing to them, you can't save yourself. You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So understand, see, in these matters here, you see, the Lord came to reveal truth to those that are lost. But also He wanted to relate to the treasures of their hearts. It was amazing. Brother Roger said what he said prior to me coming up and preaching. He was dealing with rejoicing. And he said, it's amazing how we can rejoice over lots of things. But when it comes to spiritual matters, we have trouble rejoicing. That's the very theme, part of the theme of this portion of Scripture here. You see, the Bible says here, and look in verse number 3, the Bible said, and He spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Then the Lord turns around and says in verse number 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And so here you see, my friend, the Lord, it begins to relate to the treasures of their hearts. And in those days, my friend, they're present all those things in their life. Amen. In those days, you were either a shepherd or you knew a shepherd, or you had some dealings with a shepherd. But also look here in verse number 8. Bible said, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Then the Lord says again in verse number 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so the Lord is using things that they see, and my friend, they acknowledge. These pieces of silver, It could have been a savings. It could have been a dowry. Sometimes they'd take those coins and they'd make a headpiece or they'd make a necklace out of it. And understanding it was worn oftentimes with a wife that was married and do that showing honor unto the husband. You see, my friend, the Lord was pointing out we get all excited over finding a sheep. We get all excited about finding some silver. But you see what the Lord is pointing to. He's pointing to the murmurings. He's pointing to the thoughts and the sayings concerning those self-righteous and what they had to say about the Lord and His relationship to sinners.
Right.
Now, let's look down to verse number 11. Once again, the Bible said, and He said, a certain man had two sons. Once again, that's something the majority of the people had. They had some sons. The Bible said, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that fall to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in woe. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain fill his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now here we see concerning these individuals in this portion of Scripture. We find there were fathers and sons and brothers. We see here a lost son. We find the lost son, and I refer to him as the miserable son. Now I don't want you to get turned sideways on the text of Scripture here. Understanding this prodigal son, they call him, he's not one that's backslid and went back in the world. He's lost and undone. You understand that? He is lost and undone, and he's miserable in his sin. You see, my friend, concerning this young man, he took all that he had and all the inheritance that his father had. And he went and he spent it on righteous living, the drinking, the harlots, all the party life. And then one day he spent everything he had, and he had nothing left. I'm going to tell you what, my friend, what happened to this young man. He finally
head right now. There was nobody to lift him up. There's nobody to pump him up. There's nobody to bail him out. He hit rock bottom. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I think it'd be good when we see those lost and undone. Mamas and daddies, we're the world's worst. We want to prop up our youngest like they got halos. We want to prop them up and make them have a good image about ourselves as being pastors and pastors' wives. Friend, what we need to do is we need to let those young children get lost and undone and see their need for a Savior. Amen. And so you see the lost son. You find he's the miserable son in this context of Scripture. You find him in rock bottom. You find him, my friend, allowing his heart to be moved to the Father's house. Not only I want you to see and notice here the miserable son, but I want you to notice the merciful Father. Look in verse number 20. The Bible said he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm going to tell you something. You find repentance in the heart of this young man. He turned from the world. He turned from his sin, and he turned from to the Father. And see and hear, my friend, you see the Father who's full of mercy, who's full of love. And you find the Bible said, and he said unto him, concerning this matter, the Bible said here, and he said, bring hither the, let's look at verse number 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. I want to ask you a question this afternoon. Do you remember when you came to the Father? Remember that day, my friend? You were there, my friend, full of sin. The Bible said all of our righteousness was nothing but filthy rags in the sight of God. And my friend, you see, I remember January the 25th, 1996. I remember being a lost sinner, lost and undone, and sat under the preaching of the Word of God. And I remember there, Brother Roger, in that cotton mill, the Avondale Mills in Silicon. I worked from 6 at night to 6 in the morning. I remember getting in that stairwell, and God, the Holy Ghost, had a hold of my heart, and it wasn't letting go. I remember weeping and crying all through the night. My heart had trouble. I needed the Lord. I got off at 6 o'clock that morning, and I drove home. I lived in a little trailer park called Shallow Trailer Park there in Silicaga. Used to be, a little Russell sewing plant there. And I lived back there about 6:30 in the morning. Old fella come knocking on my door. I'm a sitting there, I'm a snotting, I'm a whining, I'm a crying. Now my friend, one of my best friends that I grew up with, he got saved by the grace of God. And I remember when he got saved, he come by the house. He said, Tim, he said, you've been a friend for a long time. He said, but I just can't hang around you no more. I got saved and I just can't be around you no more. You live a lifestyle that's contrary to the life I live. Tim said, oh, Bible thumper, you go on your way. I don't need you anyway. Come January the 25th of 1996, I'm going to tell you something happened. This old fella didn't give up on me. He come knocking on my door. Opened that door up at 6:30 in the morning. He looked at me. He said, what about getting saved? Amen. I'm going to tell you, I got face first in an ottoman. I called upon the name of the Lord, and God saved me. You say, what'd you do? I'm telling you, he brought me very best of robes, and he put it on me, and that robe of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God.
Remember when he came back to the Father's house. Remember when he gave you them very best. I remember years ago, Brother Virgil Barnder was a preaching in a big way. He preached about that message about finding that little baby in the desert. He talked about when Miss Dorris had a baby, had a little girl, and said they said we got to bind a dress for that little baby girl. So Brother Virgil, they said we're going to go down to the department store. Said they went up there to go to that department store, and Brother Virgil said downstairs was all the discounts. Mr. Dolores looked at him and said, so we're going to go with her. And that's where they had the very the little dresses. So I'll tell you what, God spared not the very for you and I, saved by the grace of God. Yes, as a vagabond, yes, as a wretched sinner, saved by the grace of God. Best robe. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, it didn't stop with a robe. The Bible went on to say here, is that but the Father said, now listen, the Father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The Bible said, and put a ring on his hand. Oh, my friend, I remember when I got saved by the grace of God. Not only did he put a ring on my righteousness, oh man, but understand, he put a ring on my finger. You see, now that I'm saved by the grace of God, I'm a joint heir to the throne. I came royalty. I'm a child of God. Amen. Think about it how we used to be. Listen and done. Deserving to die and go to hell. We blaspheme the name of God. We call God. God has saved us. It's of who we were. That's all on the basis of who He is. Amen. He gave me the best robe. He put a ring on my finger. But it didn't stop there. The Bible goes on to say, amen. He said, and put a ring on his hand. The Bible said, and shoes on his feet. You see, when I got saved by the grace of God, God gives us His instruction. Find the book of Ephesians. The Bible said about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now that I'm saved by the grace of God, amen, it doesn't matter what I used to be. Amen, it doesn't matter what it used to be. Instead, I got saved by the grace of God. Amen, I'm going to tell you what, my slate been wiped clean. Amen, my sins are forever removed from me. As far as the east is from the west, nothing brought up against me again. Amen. But understand this, I have peace in my heart according to the word of God. I have peace in my heart according to the will of God. I have peace in my heart because of the work of God. And now I take that truth and I apply it to my life. And I can go anywhere, Brother Roger. I can go anywhere, face anybody. Amen. And I'm safe and secure. No matter what they say. Amen. No matter what they do. I'm a child of the King. I'm saved by the grace of God. You understand there's a lot of false doctrines out there. And there's a lot of false teachings out there. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things out there, a lot of snares. You understand we can step on and become wounded and become unfit for the battle. But I'm going to tell you something, there's peace and joy in my heart. I have the peace. I have peace with God. That enables me to have the peace of God. And I can go in this life and I can serve God. And I don't have to worry about what the enemy's thinking. I don't have to worry about what the enemy's saying. Amen. As long as they're not right. Amen. As long as they're not right. But I can go and serve the Lord. Why? Because my feet have been shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I have peace with God. I have the peace of God. And understanding in this journey, it's never going to be an easy journey. God never promised that it was going to be easy. He never said your heart would never get broken. He never said you wouldn't face trials and tribulations. He never said you wouldn't face no testings or hard times or storms in your life. But He did promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake Him, that I'll be with you to the very end. Amen. Isn't it wonderful here? We look at these portions of Scripture. And you say, Brother Tim, what in the world has that got to do with your message? Well, I'm glad you asked. We see in this portion of Scripture, you see the miserable son. He's lost and undone. And God brings him back home. You see the merciful Father that loved him. in spite of all they'd ever did, all they'd ever done, he loved them. But to get back to the text of the message, oh, how good it is about that miserable son coming home. And how good it is for the merciful Father. But the context of the scripture doesn't have to do with all that. It has to deal with a mad mother. Now let's look at these portions of scripture. The Bible said, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, my brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. The Bible said, and he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out to him and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. We think about this mad brother. I want you to understand something. Everything he said about his brother was true. He was nothing more than a drunkard. He's nothing more than a whoremonger. That's what he was. Yes, it's true. Yes, everything he said was true. But you know what? There are so many of us that are just like that mad brother. We just can't understand when an old wretched sinner, miserable drunk, drug addict, whoremonger, whatever it may be, dirties up our church and our atmosphere and have the audacity to come down to our altar. Bow face first right there. And that no one. Well, what was the exhortation of the Lord? Rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice. That's what he said time and time again. We're all ready to rejoice over some keeping the faith. We're going to hunt and trim. We kill that big monk. We're going to take pictures of it. We're going to ride it right on the front of our truck. And we're going to ride through town and everybody see that big old bug. Come rejoice with me. Let's count these points together. Now, I hope I didn't just kill the service now. I want to rejoice about that. We go there and we get one of those lottery tickets. Amen. I don't even know how to play it stuff. But if you get some of those numbers right, you might get some money, and then you want to show up for your buddies. Look at what I've got. Look at what I've got. I'm going to tell you something. That's what the world does. You see, they were so ready to rejoice with this man that had a lost sheep. Ready to rejoice. With and they found that one sheep that was lost. Then they came with a lady that lost one of her pieces of silver. They were ready to rejoice. Everybody was rejoicing with her. Yeah. Now you come to a lost son.
Yep.
Wow. You come to somebody lost and undone and on their way to a devil's hell. How many of you got lost family members? You got loved ones right now you're praying for, been praying for a long time. Oh, I got lost brothers. I've got lost sisters. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. If they was to walk that aisle and get saved by the grace of God, we're going to have a fit. We're going to have a fit. We're going to shout her out. We're going to cry. Now remember, as a young Christian, we'd go out door knock, knocking all week long. Brother Craig Ogle, he's one of my dear friends. He got a little money together. We went to my little church, man. Didn't have but one seat in it. Two seats in the front had one seat in it. Everybody else, you had to sit on a bucket or whatever. And we'd fill that little van, that big old van up. Thing smoked like a tire kill. Not going to be used on it, done everything. But I'll tell you what, you can pack a lot of people inside an old van. We'd go and invite them. And we'd pray all the way to go and pick them up on that Sunday morning to bring them to the house of God. They'd get in that church bus. We're praying to God they're going to come. They get in that old van with us. And we bring them to the house of God. Now, we've been praying for our pastor to preach with power and conviction. He pours out and the Holy Spirit of God shows up. My friend, old sinners come down to that altar, get saved by the grace of God. You know what we done? Oh, we wept and we rejoiced. We shouted, oh, no. We had ourselves a good time. When's the last time you rejoiced when somebody made a profession of faith? Or your conversation, maybe they got in. You know what kind of lifestyle they were living? I think we done got a case of the amnesia or part-timers or something like that. But we forgot where God saved us from. Now listen, I don't want you to embarrass yourself, and I'm not going to call you out because I don't know anything about your former life. But I promise you, you was a piece of work. You was a miserable, wretched sinner. Amen. You deserve to die in your sins and go to death. But God loves you and He saved you. And just on the simple fact that God loved you and saved you and you was a wretched sinner, should we not rejoice? Amen. The Bible, the Lord Himself said there's rejoice in the presence of angels. Now, angels don't know anything about redemption. It's like the prophets in the Scripture. Everybody desired to look into it. I wonder who's up there rejoicing in heaven. It might be all them mamas and pawpaws that's done gone on before us. But I wonder who's getting it all started. It might be God Himself.
Amen.
They're rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. You see, the Lord spoke these parables and He come out right after they rejoiced over finding that sheep, and then He made mention about someone, a human being lost in a dungeon, getting saved by the grace of God. He talked about the coin. What did He say? He talked about a sinner getting saved by the grace of God. And then they give you a picture of a sinner getting saved by the grace of God. And they have a problem rejoicing. I'll tell you something. A lot of times when there's no rejoicing, because it's because we're not praying. Not because we just don't care. We get to that mentality, me, my four, and no more.
Yeah, that's a lot of
fun. What happened? What happened, old time soul winning? What happened, old time desire in our hearts and a burden in our hearts? Whatever happened to fasting and praying over sinners, do we say?
Amen.
You see, the mad brother. Father said, in verse number 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found.
Amen.
When I see somebody get saved by the grace of God, it reminds me of when God saved me. I read these scriptures about that young man coming back to the Father. Brother Simpson, it brought me right back to January the 25th of 1996 when God saved me. You know, the child of God is the only one that can weep and rejoice at the same time.
Amen.
Oh, that we would rejoice.
Amen.
And make merry.
Yes.
Sinners being birthed into the family of God.
Amen.
Letting people know you care.
Amen.
You remember, it used to be days ago when somebody gets saved and the pastor would stand up front. They'd take that old sinner. And they'd get up and that pastor said, "Won't you tell the church what the Lord done for you?" And the best knowledge they knew how, they just weep and cry and snot, big grin on their face, and God saved me. And then everybody would start filing out of the pews, one by one, coming up and hugging the neck or shaking a hand, saying, "I'm gonna be praying for you. Praise God, praise God. We'll be praying for you. Praise God, praise God." You know what we did then? We looked after them. Amen. We were like watchdogs over them. Amen. And we'd try to help them. They'd ask questions. And we'd try to give them information. We'd be there with them. We'd pray with them. They'd have difficulties of time. I remember when I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't have but one shirt that was fitting to wear to church. And it was a Levi Strauss shirt, and it was a white shirt. But I wore that shirt every Sunday. And I literally wore it out, ironing and starching it. Because I remember days ago, my mama, every time we'd go to church, mama would always starch and iron her shirts. And I'd starch and iron until literally the collar was falling off that thing. I'm being honest with you. And then I found out about thrift stores. Oh, son. I will tell you, now I had to learn some things. I come out there with big old ties, look like a boat paddle. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. But there'd be the people who come by, find out what size shirt I had, they'd buy me a shirt. Find out what shoes I wore, me a pair of shoes. What kind of pants she wore, and they'd buy you a pair of pants. And everybody looked after one another.
Right.
And before you know it, that individual done got their land legs up underneath them. And they were going out there and visiting, knocking on doors, winning people to the Lord. You know what they did? They did the very same thing. And what's wonderful to watch, that very same sinner that you sit there and rejoice and you shouted out and you wept and cried over when they got saved, watching their reaction when they were able to bring somebody in the house of God, they got saved by the grace of God. There was rejoicing. There was rejoicing. Listen. This ain't something that's got to be taught. You understand? It should be natural in the life of the child of God.
Amen.
To see somebody get saved by the grace of God and rejoice, thanking God that God has got another one.
Amen.
I encourage you. You got new converts, lift them up, help them and encourage them. Why? Because they're treading in waters they ain't never tread before.
Well,
they need that encouragement. But be honest with you, pump your life up and help your life. You start caring about people. Outside of yourself. Start thinking about others. Amen. Loving them in spite of all their faults and failures. You know why? Because you slap full of them. Amen. You slap full of them too. And the reason why people love you is because the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. That's why they love you. They ain't you better than nobody else.
That's right.
Amen. You got saved by the grace of God just like everybody else that gets saved.
Amen.
You love them. The Bible tells us concerning this is a manifestation that we are saved. That we love the brethren. I pray that something I said today to help you, to encourage you in these things. You might be here today lost and undone, need to be saved. You may be here today, you got somebody on your heart needs to be saved. I want to encourage you, pour your heart out to them. Fast and pray. If you ain't got a burden, do like Nehemiah done. God gave Nehemiah a burden.
Yes.
Amen. And what he heard with his ears, it affected his heart. That's how we ought to be in these days. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us in spite of our faults and our failures. Thank you for loving us and coming to where we was when we were lost and undone and saving us. Oh, I'm reminded, Lord, as Scripture says, that you lift us up out of that horrible pit and you set our feet upon a rock and you establish our goings and you put a new song in our mouths. Help us, Lord, to rejoice of your amazing grace. Help us rejoice when sinners get saved by the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to pray. Give us a burden like never before. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Calvary. We ask all this in Jesus' name.
And for his sake, we do pray. Amen. Pastor.
Amen.